So our Bible readings this morning come from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6, our first reading. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke 3, verses 15 to 18, and then 21 and 22. The people were waiting expectantly, and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A promise is only as good as to what the promise promises. There is no good getting excited over a promise, for instance, that I will stomp my foot at the end of this sermon. But a good promise, now there's something worth getting excited over. It's kind of why Christmas presents are such an exciting part of Christmas. Christmas always comes with the promise, for children at least, of some awesome things that we really want and love. Well, as we know, God made some amazing promises about making the world a wonderful, fair, and enjoyable place for all to live. This is why we read in Luke 3:15, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Now this is quite a rap on John, that many people were considering him to have the character and ministry similar to what we read about in the promises God made through the prophets. But to leave this point there and to move on to a more pertinent point for today's message, the people were waiting expectantly for God to keep his promise. God had promised that he would make the nation a place where everyone would enjoy life. And so this promise spoke of a reality that the people desired. They desired to see it and they desired to be a part of it, especially those who struggled in life. At the end of last year, I spoke about the situation that Jesus was born into, the circumstances in the world around him, about how the Hasmoneans had become something of a royal priesthood in the last century before him, and were not interested in giving up their power and position. Simon had decreed that his family would rule until a prophet came to signal the coming of the Christ, but then worked to convince everyone that all prophecy had ceased, to ensure that his descendants would never lose their position and power he did not want to see the Christ come. Now Herod the Great used the Hasmoneans to gain legitimacy in order to become the king of the Jews. But then he overthrew their rule as he gained the trust of Rome. But the common people never lost hope in God fulfilling his awesome promise. They had read what the prophets of old had said. The promise God had made about a righteous, compassionate, and just king. And they longed for this. The words from Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 7 are a part of the promise God made. Now initially these words which Isaiah wrote were about the holy city of Jerusalem. How Jerusalem will be glorified among the cities of the earth and not left in darkness and disrepair. And so in poetic language, Isaiah pens these words of promise to Jerusalem. And these words will come true for Jerusalem in completion when Jesus returns. However, in a more literal sense, these words also, as we will see, were meant for Jesus. Let's have a look at some of these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Yes, Jesus is indeed the true light of mankind, the light of truth and life, for all to see by and to be enlightened by. And the glory of Yahweh rises upon you. The full glory of God is Jesus's, for Jesus is of Yahweh. In Jesus we see all the glory of God. What a magnificent character we see in Jesus. What love and compassion and desire to see people brought to true life, to leave their lives of sin and of darkness. Behold, the glory of God is seen in Jesus. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. The darkness of the day when Jesus was born was truly present, but it is still present in the world. And it may still be over our lives. But the darkness of this world is never the abandonment of God. Darkness of the world is a reflection of what life without God is like. It's so we can see what that is like, so we can experience what the absence of God would be like. But God does not leave the world to dwell in darkness. Rather, he promises to rise in the midst of darkness and for his glory to appear and to radiate over his people. But Yahweh rises upon you and his glory appears over you. And so into this dark, hostile world, Jesus is born. And he has been given a ministry. A ministry to bring light and life to all peoples of the world. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. All manner of people from all over the world, up to those of highest nobility, have bowed before Jesus and served him. Isaiah then changes his telling of this prophecy. And he gets his readers to imagine that they are the witnesses of what God will do, as if they are watching it unfold. Now, this is, of course, true. All of God's people will get to be witnesses of God bringing all these things into full completion. We will all get to marvel at God completing his plans. We will all see it, and we will see that at the coming of Jesus. Jesus will bring those who love God into his family from all corners of the world. Jesus will be declared king and ruler of the earth, and all will come. All will come and willingly and joyfully submit to him. In the midst of Isaiah's imagery of what this will be like, we get a foretelling of Jesus' birth, as recorded by Matthew. That story of when the wise man came from the east in search of him. And in Isaiah we read that they will come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of Yahweh. Ah, the promises of God. We have been able to see many of these come true. We have been able to read many of them coming true. And we can glory at God for keeping his wonderful promises. If you remember back, Antiochus IV called himself Epiphany when he walked into the temple in Jerusalem, meaning the appearance of a god. But Jesus is the Epiphany, and his is the rightful place in the temple, no one else, for he is the true access to God. Jesus is the appearance of our God, the only God, Yahweh. John the Baptist responded to the crowd which asked him if he was the Christ by stating that he was not the Christ, but one will come who is greater than he. Who as good of a man as John was not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. John says that Jesus is so great that he is not even worthy to serve him in the humblest of fashions. So the greatest of all men was not even worthy to serve Jesus in the humblest of fashions. Now isn't this true? Isn't this true of us? Isn't it true that we are not even worthy to be a servant or a slave of Jesus's? We're not worthy to even be anywhere near his presence. We don't deserve to be close to him, even to serve him. We deserve to be rejected and thrown away from him. And yet, such is his character that he comes to us, bringing us in from the furthest corners of the world and down here in Australia, and from the darkest places in the world. He doesn't keep his distance, not even from lepers, but draws us near to embrace us. He picks us up when we have fallen down, and he bends down to tie our sandals, serving us in the humblest of fashions. This is Epiphany. And it's the fulfillment of our wildest dreams that the best news that ever could exist is the reality. The fulfillment of the promises of God that this is what God is like. In Jesus, this is the appearance of our God on earth as man. One whom we're not even worthy enough to serve, serves us. And we know that he does even more than tie our sandals, for we know that he died for us, giving his all. And you know what? Jesus hasn't stopped giving us his all. He continues to give us his all, for he has given us the most precious gift, the Holy Spirit. He's given us eternal life. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us the grace of God poured into our lives. And the Holy Spirit, that wonderful gift, living in us and always with us, no matter what we face. Do not fear what this year brings. Do not fear. For Jesus is with us. He has a ministry for us. John tells us that he came to draw all those who would love him and serve him, but he would also remove all the fake people. All the evil people, or those who never repent, who never leave a life of living for themselves and for their own glory and profit. that he calls all who would turn to him and heals us. And so, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we read of his baptism. The symbol of receiving the ministry to which God has called him. And he receives the Holy Spirit as it descends on him in the physical form of a dove. He is worthy to be entrusted with all that God has to give. This most wonderful man, who displays the most amazing character, is affirmed by God at this moment to be his son. To be his son in whom he is well pleased. This is the baptism of Jesus. And so Jesus is baptized into his ministry. That wonderful ministry we learnt about in detail throughout last year. And you know what? As those who have chosen to be his followers, we are baptized into his ministry. We are baptized into his ministry. That's what our baptism is about. It's about being a part of Jesus' continued ministry on this earth as part of his people. So we've come to begin a new year, complete with all manner of uncertainty, maybe even in a place of darkness and fear. But we do not face it alone. Jesus is with us. Jesus is the light in our hearts who walks with us through whatever we face. Jesus continues to live out his baptism by continuing to minister to us. He has not left us, and so we need not fear. However, Jesus, as he ministers to us, has given us a purpose for living, the ultimate purpose for life, to live out his baptism too. We are to commit ourselves this year to living out our part of the ministry he has for us, both as individuals and as a church, and as part of a broader Christian community and church family. So as we begin this new year, may we remember that Jesus is with us, and we are to join in his ministry to the world. Amen.